Blog Talk Radio.
And this is Ken Kratzer with Sons of the American Legion Radio, a special edition after Army's win in the Armed Forces Bowl tonight down in Fort Worth, Texas. As exciting a game as it gets. And we're hoping we might have a chance to hear from Coach Munkin today. We've got a couple of people calling in. And I think we have one person on the line. Who's that?
Hey, good evening, Ken. Ryan here in Fort Worth.
Oh, that's great. We appreciate you taking time to call in and tell us about the game. We have a request in to Coach Munkin's staff to see if he can free up. We did this once before. And well, tell us about your experiences. You were in the press box. You were on the field. What was it like on the field after the game, the 42-35 win for the ages by the Army football team?
You know, it's hard to describe the emotional outpour from players, the superintendent hugging Coach Munkin, and so many alums so very proud of this team. 10 wins, they capture the Commander-in-Chief's trophy and then bring home a bowl win. Second consecutive year now that Army has won a bowl game here in the Lone Star State. But just really exciting to see all the fans taking it in, enjoying a great crowd. Really hats off to the team of the Armed Forces Bowl, everything that they did today to honor those who serve in our armed forces.
Well, absolutely. It looked like a really good crowd at the game. And you had a chance to you were sending in some excellent reports and photos. Boy, Army really had to come up with some big plays in the fourth quarter. First of all, they could not find an answer to Rashawn Penny. It seemed like every time the San Diego State scored early and got his hands on the ball, he scored. And why did it look so hard for Army to stop Rashawn Penny?
First off, Ken, I'll share with you a comment that Coach Munkin shared yesterday during the press conference when both coaches spoke to the media here in Fort Worth. And that is, he was joking about as soon as the press conference ended, he wanted to get back there and get Penny's autograph before he went to the next level. Both coaches agreed something very special, an elite runner, an elite athlete. See him at the press conference yesterday, just how physical he is. I would say he's probably one of the very best athletes that Army has went up against this year, you know, outside of maybe some of the players on the Ohio State team they saw early in the season. He was a consensus All-American. He was the Mountain West Conference Offensive Player of the Year. So, I mean, he definitely someone to contend with, and Army struggled all day, but it's very understandable given that young man's prowess.
Yes, Penny had a terrific day for San Diego State, and just seemed like early on Army really had no answer for him, and Penny ended up on the day with the majority 221 yards rushing, but not much, you know. But the total for San Diego State was 255, so we got 90% of their rushing yardages. Really, they had very little passing, which I had kind of been concerned about, that with San Diego State having a terrific running threat, that Army would put all its players up on the line, which they kind of did, and San Diego State would be able to pass the ball successfully over the top. But that never really happened today. The Army defense really held San Diego State to very few passing yards.
Did you have
a feel for why they were able to do that on pass defense?
You know, I don't know. I know both coaches yesterday kind of alluded to the fact that we had a horrible day here yesterday in Fort Worth, a lot of rain. And so I know both coaches were kind of concerned about, you know, what kind of shape the field would be in and the ability to run. Of course, you know, Army, after their experience playing in the snow there at Philadelphia, a little bit better prepared to play in adverse weather conditions than San Diego State. But I thought maybe given field, which was still pretty wet today, that, you know, San Diego State would look to throw the ball more. But I think, you know, their offense is clearly centered around Rashad Penny, and, you know, that's what he came in to today's game. Four prior games rushing for 200-plus yards. Today marked the fifth time in a row. Now he's exceeded 200 yards. So I guess, you know, they look at that's what got them to where they were. And, you know, they were a 10-win team coming in, so they stuck with their game plan. You know, Ken, the other thing I'll really credit Army for is, you know, that game was a little bit chippy at times. And, you know, there were personal fouls and stuff.
Yeah.
And I kudos to the Army players for keeping their heads. You know, when pushing starts is easy to get out of control and start getting penalized. But overall, Army did a pretty good job of holding their emotions in check, continuing to play smart football. And in the end, it paid off with a victory.
Yeah, we saw that. There was a number of personal fouls. There was two on a San Diego State lineman early in the first half. And an Army assistant coach was also called for an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty. And, you know, later on, there were a number of penalties. Army had to overcome a number of them. But, you know, just going down the stretch, you know, what an exciting last couple of minutes for Army. You know, one of the things that was so vital was stopping the San Diego State drive when the Aztecs were up 28-21, looking to go out to a 2-touchdown lead. And Jalen McClinton was able to have a presence of mind to see a pass coming right at him. He's actually on the ground, taps it up, and Alex Aukerman grabs it for an interception, which led Army to have another drive, which enabled them to tie up the game. What a big moment that was. Could you see much of that play?
Yeah, I could. From the press box, you know, you could kind of see it developing. And you know, and that, you know, as you said, I mean, that really turned the tide. And, you know, kind of, you know, there were some gasps there in the press box, you know, especially I think from those covering San Diego State when that play occurred. But you just kind of saw it begin to develop, and you just kind of felt that Army's team, you know, just be at the right place, right time, and make that interception.
Yeah, and then when Army's going down the field, you know, trailing 28-21, and they had a 3rd and 8. At about the San Diego State 30-yard line. I think it was a 29, actually, they had gotten to on second down. But they had a 2nd and 17 after a penalty. And Ahmad Bradshaw was able to run through the line, and he's tackled about 5 or 6 yards beyond the line of scrimmage, and he's got to get 8 for the first down. And he sort of twisted to his right, and then he broke free and got another 4 or 5 yards to get the first down when, you know, all the announcers on television were saying, you know, here's the game. Army's got to make this, you know, get another first down on this 3rd and 8 or a 4th down play. What did you think of that play when you saw it, the second effort that Ahmad Bradshaw demonstrated?
Yeah, you know, just incredible. But, you know, I guess, you know, watching this team all year long, you just kind of come to expect that from Bradshaw. You know, we've seen him do it time and time again. Kind of, like my post-game comments posted from down on the field, you know, seems like when Army's needed a big play or they needed the victory, he's kind of put the team on his shoulders, and he's come up with those plays. And, you know, it's just amazing how he continues to fight and gain yardage in tough situations like that. You know, and he's, you know, one of those players, when you look at him, you know, I talked about how physical Penny was and strengthened him. Ahmad Bradshaw just doesn't have that same appearance, but incredible strength, incredible drive, and just keeps fighting on every down. And, you know, very, very deserving of getting the most valuable player honors tonight for the bowl game.
Well, he's had quite a season. He also really built up his upper body in the weight room in the off seasons. When you stand next to him, and I've had a chance to do several interviews with him on, and he's such a polite and respectful individual to talk with. As a cadet, and you supervise cadets in ROTC programs. But he put on a lot of weight, I would say, in the last year or so in his upper body that enabled him to really break free from tackles and also stay healthy. The amount of hits that he takes in a game, because he runs the ball 20 to 30 times a game, but on many of the other option plays, he is taking a hit after he gets rid of the ball because there's always a player who's assigned to tackle him. And so he's stayed amazingly healthy throughout the season. And that's, I think part of it is, a lot of the off-season work that he did to get in shape. But it's a nice story coming from the very tough South Chicago area. And so it's great to see him. What are your thoughts about the poise that he demonstrated, just leading, four solid drives down the field?
Yeah, again, it just goes back to, not only his character, but the character of all those young men that play on that Army football team. And my time as a professor of military science, working with ROTC cadets, and having many good friends that have either graduated from or taught at the military academy and knowing the caliber of cadets there. It's not surprising in situations like this that these young men step up and do amazing things. And, I think not only what's impressive about Bradshaw is the fact that, he's an excellent football player, but that he has all the makeup to be an excellent Army officer here in a few years. And, really at the end of the day, while we celebrate their achievements in football, it's really about them becoming second lieutenants and going on to serve this nation and lead the sons and daughters of American citizens into harm's way. And, the fact that they use their right hand, take an oath, go to the academy, and not only the challenges of preparing and playing football on a regular basis, but everything else that they got to do academically and military wise to prepare themselves to go out there and be second lieutenants. That's what's most impressive to me.
Yeah, absolutely. We always talk with the players when we do interviews about what branch in the Army they want to go to. And many choose infantry as their assignment. And others go into field artillery, which I know was your branch of the Army, and others go into specialized area. I think it was Alex Aukerman said he's going to the Corps of Engineers, which is a great accomplishment. It's funny. I just take an aside since I got you on the line, is what you don't find too much anymore are cadets who branch armor, and I was just. I just wondered about that. I know we have a friend who's a lieutenant general in the Army, Guy Swan, who was a friend of yours. We met him together. Actually, you introduced me. And he was an armor officer, and his son who went to West Point, just graduated, is going armor too. Why is armor not as big a not the choice that it might have been a few years ago?
I think it was kind of a changing dynamic back when, we were full on engaged in Iraq and Afghanistan and so much unconventional warfare. We saw kind of the armor community go through a lot of changes, as did all the Marines. Armor especially, there was kind of a lot of discussion about, was there a need for a heavy armor force? Were tanks still viable in today's fight? We talked a lot about, cavalry scouts and kind of cavalry tactics in the armored community getting light again. So I think that there was some uncertainty, and that kind of changed folks' feeling about going into the armor branch, and you saw more folks drifting towards field artillery or infantry those will be combat arms. But I think, you know, given the threats in the world today, you know, it's been proven that we need our armor community. And I think it's a great branch. You know, I've had the pleasure to serve with a number of very, very gifted and talented armor officers over the years. Although I will say that, you know, as a field artillery, probably the best officers I've ever worked for and served beside have been fellow Red Legs. But there's some great armor officers out there. It's a great branch, and their mission is absolutely vital to what we do in the United States Army in terms of closing with and destroying the enemy.
Okay, Ryan, we have someone calling in. I just want to take the call because we're waiting for Coach Munkin to possibly join us. Hi, this is Ken Kratzer from Sons of the American Legion Radio.
Hi, Ken. This is Sam Houston.
Hey, we got Colonel Houston on the line with – we have Colonel Remley on the line, too, and just discussing the game. We're hoping to get a call from Coach Munkin, and we've got about another 20 minutes of airtime. Hey, Sam, appreciate your coverage, both of you two gentlemen, helping us out, being down at the game today. What were your thoughts about the Army victory? You had to be pretty happy.
Yeah, we're surrounded by fellow old grads. I posted a video a little while ago on Facebook. If you haven't had a chance to see it, but I had faith in the Army team that they were going to be successful on that two-point conversion, so I filmed it and the pandemonium that ensued. I wish I had kept filming to see the last play of the game, but let's just say that the game, in my opinion, was a microcosm of the macro of the entire Army season, and that is that a football team that Coach Monken and his staff and the players have bought into a system where they never quit. I always believed that there's a way to win. No matter how dim it may be looking, they know that they can win the game and that they're going to win, and they never lose that confidence. It was just an amazing event, really was.
Well, they certainly did. I mean, it looked like they were going to go down two touchdowns until Jalen McClinton and Alex Aukerman did the classic football tip drill that they teach you in junior high school football. And
yes,
Aukerman took that ball and ran up the sideline and set up, gave Army a chance to run another drive. What did you think of that play?
That play was it was one of the turning points of, I believe, of gaining the momentum back in the second half, because Army had really lost a lot of steam of momentum, starting with the end of the first half when they allowed that kick to get returned for a touchdown. And then in the second half, with the failed strict field goal attempt, which they turned the ball over on downs, and then the trick play that came a little while later where they turned the ball over on an interception, and that chip drill interception prevented that from hurting the team because it stopped their drive deep in Army territory. And I think it was a signal to the entire team that every player is doing their job, and every player continue to do your job, and we're gonna stick this out. But I can't say enough good stuff about the Army team and the last minute of the game, or the last drive of the game. I don't think there's a person in the stands when Army got the ball back with 5 minutes to go who didn't know they were going to go down the field and score, and then with practically no time on the clock, go for the win instead of going into overtime. And we all believed it, and that's what happened, because the team believed it, and that's what they did. So couldn't be more proud as an Army fan.
Well, Sam Houston, and we've got Ryan Remley on the line also. You had been a strong advocate of hiring Jeff Munkin 4 years ago, and you had seen him coach at Georgia Southern and the big win they had over Florida that year. What did you see in Coach Munkin back then? And he certainly has exceeded everyone's expectations since he came to West Point.
I believe the biggest thing that Army needed to do at the time that they hired Coach Monk was to finally accept that the system that Air Force and Navy had been using and have been using had led them to a dominance in their program. And Army leadership at West Point and in the Department of the Army to accept the fact that in order to bring the pride and the glory and the esteem back to Army football, they might as well have gone ahead and say, if you can't beat them, join them. And the join them was Jeff Monken came from that system of excellence. He was a Paul Johnson protege. Paul Johnson, who's a friend of mine from Avery County, North Carolina, used to play for him when he was my offensive line coach back in high school football.
And oh, really?
Jeff Monken, he came from that system. He had seen the success at Navy. He knew what it took to turn the program around. He was the right guy for the job. And it might have been a leap of faith to take him, but I think it was the best move Army football has done in many years since they hired Jim Young back in the 80s.
Well, it certainly has worked out exceedingly well. There were two lean years, Coach Monken's first 2 years, as he really implemented his system and his coach's system. And he recruited. One of the things that really stands out for me is the amount of depth that they were able to bring into the program, especially on defense, the quality of the linebackers that they have been able to play, bringing in someone like a Ken Brinson and James Nautical played very well, Cole Christensen, and then the defensive backfield. They had Ryan England out for a bunch of games. Was Ryan England playing much today? I didn't see him. Was he able to play today?
Yeah, he was out there. Yep. Matter of fact, there was a few times he was running over to the fans and waving his arms to get us stoked and into the game.
Oh, sure. Now he was. He had an injury. He had been hurt in the Ohio State game, and then they said he was sore after the Navy game, and he didn't practice until after exams ended. And we're on Sons of the American Legion Radio and Blog Talk Radio. I had pleasure talking to Lieutenant Colonel Ryan Remley and Colonel Sam Houston, both from the United States Army. And why don't we ask Ryan a thought? We were just kind of talking about the third down play late in the game. When Army's got a third and eight at about the 29-yard line at San Diego State, and they just had a penalty. They had a big play just to get to bring it down to eight. I think it was second and 17. They go to third and eight, and Ahmad Bradshaw powers through the line. He gets stopped about 5 yards in, maybe short of the first down, but he twists to his right, broke the tackle, and then got another 5 yards or so. Ryan and I were talking a little bit about that as kind of a key part of the game. What do you think, Sam? Do we have Sam Houston? Hello.
Oh, I'm sorry, Ken. I thought you were asking Ryan a question there.
Okay. Well,
What was the quick question there?
Yeah, the question was the third and eighth play where Ahmad Bradshaw broke a tackle to get about a 10-yard gain that really put them in a good position to score, getting inside the 20 with a new first down after they had been second and 17 after a penalty.
Yes. And, you know, about that penalty, by my recollection, I think that might have been the only chop block penalty Army's offense had on them all season long that I've seen. So it seemed to come at a most inopportune time that late in the game. But Bradshaw's effort to overcome that setback was just, if you were to do a case study on Ahmad Bradshaw all season and something that's different from him about him from last year, is his understanding of the game, is the reads that he makes, and how powerful a runner he is. He's really like having another very agile fullback who is also an expert ball handler. And that type of a run is demoralizing for a defense. When you know you've got all you've got to do is stop Army and you've got the game, and makes so demoralizing for the other team and so exhilarating for the Army offense. There was no question in any member of that huddle's mind at that moment that they were going in to win the game. You know, and all they had to do was look at number 17, who was their leader on the field, and say, "We have confidence you're going to take us wherever we need to go and get it done." It was an amazing run, of many amazing runs in the game.
Yeah. Hey, let's ask both of you. Let's ask Ryan Remley. What were your thoughts on the two-point conversion? It seemed like Army had momentum, and they called exactly the play. I was in the American Legion post in White Plains watching, and I said to the group, they're going to run the pitch play to the right side behind Brent Toth, the right tackle. And, boy, that's exactly what they did. What do you think, Ryan?
Yeah, no, Ken, that was kind of the feeling in the press box. You know, I think there were some folks initially that were kind of shocked that the Army wasn't going to, you know, just go for the tie and send the game into overtime. You know, once they decided to go for it, I think most people anticipated that was the move that they were going to make. And, boy, did it work out for them. And, you know, of course, everybody was still very, very concerned, even once they scored, you know, because San Diego State's ability to return the kickoff in the game was far from over. You know, that was the other buzz there in the press box, even once Army took the lead, was don't count San Diego State out just yet.
Yeah. Sam, what did you think of the two-point play?
Well, I had a suspicion that that was the type of play they were going to run because of how much they've been running inside the tackle and how much San Diego State defense was beginning to assume that they needed to stack the line inside. Plus, I had seen Army run a similar play in previous games this year. But it was funny because from where I was sitting, I was only like four rows up from the bench. And all of the fans, after Army scored the touchdown, all of the fans were screaming in unison, two, two, two. I don't think there was any question about whether or not, you know, they were going to go for two, especially when you had the entire, you know, every heart and grave behind you was resonating for 2 points. And as soon as if you watch the video that I posted of the pandemonium of that 2-point conversion, people were cheering almost the second the pitch went out because we knew he had the angle and we knew that he had the speed to get in the end zone. And it was a foregone conclusion from the second the ball was snapped that that was going to be a successful 2-pointer. The Army execution is just they are the premier triple option team in the land this year. They've earned it.
Oh, I agree. I was surprised that San Diego State didn't have a cornerback watching for that play. They stacked the inside, as you said, Sam, and left themselves wide open for that play because when you had Toth at the tackle, and I don't know if they had a tight end on that side. I have to watch your video. We'll see what happens. What did you both – let's start with Ryan. What did you think of that kick, you know, that play where they complete a pass and it's going to be the last play of the game and they start lateraling the ball back and forth and then the lateral gets picked off by Elijah Riley?
In the press box there, the San Diego State spot up above, you just, you know, it seems he can't get the ball. You saw he had just a clear path to the end. You knew that was it, you know. So, that was a lot of fun to just watch that. I mean, it's kind of nerve-wracking, you know, any on the ball. continue to see who they have on offense.
Yeah, we're kind of losing you, Ryan. Sam, why don't you talk about what did you see in that play? It must have been for you and Coach Munkin and all the other West Point alumni. It must have been the longest couple of seconds you've had in a long time waiting to see how that play is going to turn out.
It was, you know, and to back it up a little bit, San Diego State was very fortunate that they had a timeout remaining because on the previous play, grounding, had they not had a timeout, that would have been the game because they would have done the clock runoff. But San Diego State did have a timeout, and that set the table for that final play. And, yeah, that was the longest seven-plus seconds, I think, of the entire game because for a minute there, especially when San Diego State was able to lateral the ball back across the field to their quarterback, you know, it was a very concerning moment to think that at that point you had a lot of Army defensive players who were beginning to commit and suddenly could be caught out of position. But fortunately, there were several Army defensive players who were staying in position. They weren't biting on the lateral tosses, and they were ready to stop the play. And it just so happened that stopping that play was an interception that went back for a touchdown. And pandemonium amongst the old grads ensued once again. So I don't think I've ever seen so many old grads so excited. It's just amazing.
Well, I think you and General Kaslin must have been very excited. He's General, and Sam, you know him, General Kaslin. He really has been an architect helping to build up the sports programs, not just football. Basketball is doing well, other sports at West Point. And also, I'd say the whole academy is looking very good, you know, in terms of its academic prestige, athletics, military accomplishments, graduates. How does this kind of reflect, I mean, General Kaslin's leadership that the program has been able to be this successful?
General Kaslin is a warrior, and, you know, he's proved it in his career. He's proved it on the battlefield, and he is someone who has brought that warrior mentality back to West Point. And at the tailgate before the game, he spoke about the game, and he was, you know, he has a very captivating ability to really get people very fired up. And, you know, he said that, you know, I'm going to paraphrase here, but he said words to the effect of, is that we don't, you know, we don't want to produce just leaders who we can say at the end of the game, you did your best. Our goal is to produce leaders who understand what it takes to win. And then he made his bold prediction on the game, and he said, ESPN has us down by 6, and I'm going to make my own prediction. His Army's going to win by 10. And he was close, but he really does bring a very warrior, winning warrior mentality that is very infectious to all around him.
Yeah, he's a terrific leader. They were talking about all the push-ups that he does with the cadets at following touchdowns. Hey, we just have a couple of minutes left, and we're hoping Coach Munkin might be able to join us, but I'm sure he's in demand on a number of national medias tonight. Ryan Remley, just tell us your overall thoughts of covering the Armed Forces Bowl, which we really appreciate your help, both of your help.
Yeah, again, Ken, can't say enough about the excellent job the Armed Forces Bowl Committee, City of Fort Worth, did in putting on the first class event. Both the events downtown, celebrating, and then the game itself, and then interspersed with all the various ceremonies to recognize serving our armed forces and family members. It's been a lot of fun. I think the opportunity to this year, Texas, a few weeks ago, and just won in the 2018 season.
Okay. Hey, want to thank you. I think our line is not as good as it was when we started. But Colonel Houston, want to thank you also for sending us many reports, as you've done at several Army away games this year. And what were your thoughts about the overall bowl experience? Just got about a minute left.
Well, you know, the heart of Dallas Bowl last year was tough to beat, and I didn't think that it could be done for the exciting manner of game, scoring, the way it finished. But this bowl game, I've watched several of the bowl games this year so far just because I love watching college football. And just if I was just a casual observer who was making notes on bowl games, I would tell you straight up, this was the most exciting bowl game to date this bowl season. It was worth every minute of being there. It was worth every penny spent to be here, to be among the fans, to be so close to the Army team, to be able to sit in on Coach Monken's press conference last night. It's been an amazing weekend. And I look forward to, first off, I want to thank you for giving me the opportunity to be able to contribute to your sports report and everything that you do for Army Athletics. And I can tell you straight up, I look forward to many years of sharing my thoughts and videos and photos with you as we continue to cheer the on-brave old Army team for many years of glorious seasons to come.
Well, Sam Houston, we appreciate that. I appreciate being able to work with you. You've provided so many years of service to the United States Army. How many years were you in the Army active duty?
Like 27 total.
Okay. And we followed your reports when you were in places like Iraq and Afghanistan serving and many different important capacities, and we thank you for your service, as we do with Ryan Remley, who dropped off. We lost our phone connection with Colonel Remley. But, yeah, we're looking forward to it. It's going to be there's going to be some celebrations, but everyone will be looking forward to next season and the changes. A very good junior class for Army. There's actually a chance Ahmad Bradshaw may have eligibility left. He actually needs another year at West Point to finish his degree, and we'll see what happens on that one. But there probably will be a look for among the young quarterbacks. But you've got some very good young running backs, linebackers, defensive backs. They're going to miss Ryan England. They got to rebuild the offensive line, losing the likes of Bryce Holland and Brent Toth. And Josh Boylan, who played so well. Rebuilding the offensive line is going to be the next challenge for West Point.
Yeah, I agree with that. Their offensive line has been they've been the silent no-names MVPs of the year this year. There's a reason that Army is the top rushing team in the country, which is an amazing thing to be able to do in FBS football. But I have confidence in Coach Monken's recruiting system. You know, he now has all the players that are in the system now are people that he recruited. And I believe that he does have some real horses that are ready to step into the shoes of the departing firsties who have been plowing the running lanes for this past season.
Okay, and also they have the date next year out at Oklahoma. Yeah, that Oklahoma. As Army plays one top 15 opponent each year. And Oklahoma will be coming back to play at Mikey Stadium in 2020. That's a very interesting home-and-home arrangement they set up.
Sure is. And I've already had some classmates of mine talking about going out to Norman next year for that Oklahoma game. So we'll see. I just might make that road trip.
Well, that would be interesting because actually I'm hoping to do it because I'm hoping to visit Fort Sill where my dad was commissioned in 1942 with his brother, actually, who attended West Point for a couple of years. And that will be a major road trip. Well, we want to let you go. I'm sure you want to get back with your alumni friends and get some dinner. But I just want to thank Colonel Sam Youssef. Wish you a Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, and we'll see you again very soon.
Same to you, Ken. We're about to chow down on some Tex-Mex here at Papa Tito's and celebrate the big Army win.
Okay, you enjoy, and thank you very much. We'll talk soon. And Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays to all everyone listening, and our best wishes, congratulations to everyone at the Army football team. This is Ken Kratzer for Sons of the American Legion signing off, and we'll look forward to next season when Army will try to defend this season, which was 10-3, a great year. Thanks, everybody. Good night.